Well, good morning. You know, I really mean this, and I am glad to see you this morning. I mean, I'm very glad to see you because starting about last Sunday afternoon, when the Haiti team, when we prayed for them up here last Sunday, about Sunday afternoon till about right now, I thought, my goodness, what a battle to go to another country. And what I mean by that is about 2 weeks ago, we began, Rick, Dusty and I began to pray for this team. We began to pray specifically for a couple things. One, protection, and one, against distractions. You know, a lot of times, a lot of good things get in the way of the God things. And a lot of things come up that keep us from doing all that we can do to fulfill the purposes of the kingdom of God. And starting last Monday morning, it was just another good reminder that the devil is very much alive still. And he has a lot of partners. And a lot of things can come against us, the world, the flesh, and the evil one. But it is a good thing that we do serve a sovereign, powerful God, an almighty God. And so one of the things that was a very big distraction to Dustin personally is you received the email about his brother-in-law, Keith, which is Audrey's brother. In just a moment, she's going to come and give you an update on him, is that he was put in the hospital. And Audrey's going to give you an update on that. But that is a big deal anytime, but especially when you're the spiritual leader of a team going on a mission trip in 7 days. And when you're going to a place, as I told our youth the other night, when the number one religion isn't Muslim or Catholicism or baptism or Christianity, when the number one religion is voodoo and they're calling on demons, it's a big deal. Okay? It's a very big deal. And so I'm going to, Audrey, come up here and you tell us a little bit how Keith's doing. And here, you can just stand next to me, Audrey. There you go.
Well,
that way, in case I decide to cut you off, I'll take you back.
It's worth it just there. To stand next to you, Dane. Sorry. Which way do you, just give me a regular mic. This is ridiculous.
Don't look at it, talk to them.
Okay. Well, it's so tiny. Dane asked me if I could share about my brother. We call him Keatsy, so if I say Keatsy and slip up, I'm sorry. But I hope I can share. Monday morning, we got the call that he was going into the hospital. He had double pneumonia, we knew that, but he also went into congestive heart failure. He's about Dusty's age, 54, 55. He's had a history of heart problems. 5 years ago, almost next month will be 5 years ago, he was diagnosed with a very aggressive bone cancer. Is a survivor, a miracle, walking miracle. Had to go to MD Anderson and live there for a while. We don't know what's going on with his heart. Don't know if the part of his problem is some damage from the chemo that he experienced then. But Wednesday night, we were told that to prepare that he might not make it because his heart was in such a distress with the pneumonia, fighting the fluid. To go home and just prepare for that. And of course, that's the same night Megan was in an accident and told of her car. And, you know, she's also preparing to go to Haiti. So that was a difficult night, and I'm thankful for the body of Christ. I'm thankful Dane came over, prayed over us, and email went out. The next morning, my brother looked wonderful compared to how he looked the day before. He asked me if he looked pretty. I said, no, you don't look pretty, but you look good. You look better, but you don't look pretty. You got a long ways to go before you're going to be pretty. But pray for him. He is still, we get encouraged, and then we get bad news. And yesterday we got more bad news. And so just pray for him. It's a roller coaster. His heart is in really bad shape. And they had to put him on bypass for a little while. They might have to put him back on bypass. So just pray for him, that, you know, God will intervene. We know that 5 years ago, and when Rick, this morning at 9:30, that song you played, 5 years ago when we found out he had bone cancer, we claimed that song. That was his song, Voice of Truth. And Rick happened to play it this morning for some reason. And it just reminded me that God is in control, that the voice of truth is that God has a plan, and his plan is perfect. And he has us in the palm of his hand, and he has all of us. He has the team. I know other team members have gone through some difficult times this week too. It's not just the rentals. We thank God for Megan's protection and that she is on her way to Haiti this morning with mother's hands holding tight, having to let her go. It was very hard for me to let her go, but I know that God loves her more than I do, and that's where she's to be. And we're thankful that Satan had a plan Wednesday night, but didn't get Megan, but he got that Honda. So, you know, it might be such a bad thing. But just pray for Keith Wells and Cindy Wells. There is going to be a long struggle ahead for him. And the body of Christ, how can we do it without the body of Christ? And I'm thankful that I'm connected here. And that, you know, I know that there are prayers being lifted when we don't know how to pray, you pray in our behalf. And I thank you for that. So thank you.
Let's pray for him right now. Father, we lift up Keith and Cindy and their family. God, I want to praise you and thank you, God, that you've allowed him to stay with us this long. And so, Lord, we're asking you to heal him. We're asking for that, God. We're asking that you would touch him either supernaturally or you can use doctors and medicine. That's okay, Father. That's still a miracle in my book. And, Father, we would ask that you would be glorified through this. I mean, Lord, we're glorifying you right now, today. We praise you, God. We praise you for preserving Megan's life, Father. God, we ask you today to not only watch over Keith physically, but spiritually and emotionally. God, I pray that in no way the world, the flesh, the devil will be able to come against him. And, Lord, I pray that for our team. God, as they're sitting around that airport, probably trying to find some good food, might be the last good food for a few days, that, Lord, you would bless them and protect them physically, spiritually, and emotionally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning, Kelly's got a little PowerPoint back there, and I said, Kelly, don't put the PowerPoint up till I'm not sure what we're going to do this morning. And I'm still not totally sure what we're going to do this morning because, to be honest with you, I don't usually get real emotional, but for some reason, when Rick called me on Wednesday afternoon about Megan, that was my tipping point. I happened to be at home upstairs at my house, and Rick called and said, Megan's been in a wreck. She had a seizure, and she's okay, but the car's totaled. And if you haven't seen pictures, and you do see pictures eventually, you'll just see the miracle in with your own flesh. The car looks terrible, okay? And she only walked, she walked away with a few scratches and bruises. And as I was doing that, I became extremely angry. And I think probably for the first time in my life, I started to grasp what Jesus must have felt like when he walked into the temple and he saw those money changers desecrating his father's house. Because when I heard what Rick told me, I felt very righteous indignation. And I said to myself, I dropped to my knees literally, and I kind of began to weep. And I said, God, somebody's got to pay for this. And I didn't mean physically as if, God, we got to call the insurance company. I got to thinking about Keith, and I know there was other things going on. John Bonifacio got very ill or quite sick from his shots before he went down to Haiti, and there were other just distractions and so forth. And I said, God, something's got to be done. What are we going to do, God? And the first thing I thought of was, well, we got to pray. We got to pray. And I couldn't wait that night to get over to Dusty and Audrey's house. I took Logan home after youth. And we sitting around the table was Dusty and Audrey, Megan, and myself. And I looked at Dusty and I said, what are we going to do about all this? I said, what are we going to do? I said, because the world, the flesh, and the devil has mounted a specific attack. Now that tells me one thing, first of all, when you're under this much oppression, there must be something good on the other side. Okay? Because the evil one's not going to spend all this time and energy trying to come against us unless there's something good on the other side. Okay? And so one of the things I said, we need to make sure we get out a prayer request. But up to that point, we hadn't sent out specifics about Keith. And then, of course, you didn't know about Meg because it just happened. And so later that night, I think that looked like Audrey's language in that email kind of more than Dusty's because, well, it looked like Audrey's language in that email a little more than it did Dusty's. But the email went out. And you heard out of our own words how things that next morning for Keith started to turn around. And one of the things I did with Dusty that next day is I called Dusty and I talked to him. I said, how's everybody else doing? So we started going through a diagnostic list, okay? Well, I knew John had been sick, but he was better. Tried to get a hold of Lynn to see how they were all doing. Then James calls me the next couple of days, and two of his boys are sick. And so we began to pray, and I just ran a diagnosis. I said, God, we've got to make sure that we never forget the battle is real. It is not something that happened in the garden and it stopped. It's not something that happened in the wilderness just to Jesus and the evil one said, oh, well, I didn't win. I'll go home and lick my wounds. It is very, very real. The Bible, in reference to spiritual battle, is a present tense reference, meaning it is still going on today. And it will not cease. But as believers in Christ, we, through the admonition of Paul, are supposed to stand and stand firm. Okay? Most of us believe, and if you weren't here early this morning at 9:30, Rick and all those shared did a great job of sharing some of the misconceptions we have in church about the church in America. Most of us in America believe that once we accept Christ, we get on a cruise ship. The fact of the matter is, once we accept Christ, we get on a battleship. I mean, it is real, and it is very real. Right to the end, okay? Right to the end. And I know that as our team is getting ready to be on the ground in Haiti, that God has some good things. But they're counting on us. They're counting on us right here, right here. They're counting on us to intercede. If you don't put your name there, that's fine. I don't mind. But when you're driving down the road this week and somebody's name comes to mind, not only do you want to pray for them, but you want to ask God, how do I pray for them? How do I pray for them? I was sharing with Dan Schrader, who's a part of the team that's going. He used to be a part of our congregation. He was talking about, you know, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I said, don't worry about what you're going to do. You're going to be doing it in the name of Jesus. I said, when you go to minister to somebody that's been under the curse of the evil one their entire life, and you hand them a cup of water, and they go, why are you down here? Okay? Why are you down here doing this? And you look at them, you say, because Jesus loves me, and I do it because He loves you too. Then you know what you're doing? You're breaking strongholds. That's what you're doing. You're breaking the curse of the evil one. You're offering the love of Jesus in such a practical, practical way that it can overwhelm these people. And if you don't know this, I didn't know this until Michael Bonifacio, of course, he's going to be on Jeopardy one day, I'm pretty sure, and probably do very well. Okay, see, you know him. Those who laugh know Michael. They had one of their instruction meetings. They told them that for the people of Haiti, when they receive medicines, that's associated with the voodoo and the witchcraft. It's kind of like a trinket. It's kind of like a gift, but they associate it. So Michael was saying that when they give them medicine, that they're going to be doing it in the name of Jesus and how that will mean something to them because they associate medicines with gods anyway. And how that our team will be able to take the medicine and say, no, this is from the God. This is from the Jesus who died for you and took away all your sins. So it is a very personal thing. And this week was a very personal, probably in a bigger sense than our body, because we sent out an email and you have stories to tell. But it doesn't just stop when they get back from Haiti, does it? It doesn't just stop when they're back. And you know, something that's very important to us is, what are we going to do about our own personal battles? What are we going to do about that? And so this morning, I don't have a PowerPoint for you. But if you have a Bible, you can turn to the book of Ephesians, and we're going to look at real quick. I don't even think I'm going to read it to you. I'm just going to tell you about it. You can look at the book, chapter 6, and we're going to look at what Paul said. Paul was talking to the church in Ephesus, and he said, look, when you engage in the battle, you need to put on the armor of God. And I will briefly describe some of these aspects of the armor of God to you. But you only put armor on when you're going into battle. Now, I said this already. We as Christians have signed up for something that's bigger than ourselves. Our team in Haiti, it's something bigger than them. The task is greater than them. So they have to fully rely on God. But don't we every single day have to rely on God? We are by His grace here this morning. It's a gift to be in this building, to be in the fellowship of the body, to be praying for one another. It's a gift. Every single day we exist by His grace and through His mercy. But Paul says, first of all, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power and put on the full armor of God so that you can do what? Take a vacation? Huh, I don't think so. I don't think so. Not in God's church. It says, so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. He's crafty, the Bible says. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spirits and spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We're not going to spend time there today. We can talk about that sometime later, okay? But let's just say all that is demonic activity. Good enough for today, okay? All that represents the evil one, okay? It represents the other team, okay? But Paul goes ahead and says, therefore, put on the armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. So, what do you do? First thing Paul says is, put on the helmet of salvation. What is that? That means you think like Christ. You think like Him. And this morning at 9:30, Brother Rick did a great job of distinguishing between lies and truth. It means you think like Christ. You take thoughts captive. You make your mind obedient to the truth. The truth is that God loves you. The truth is you have a purpose. The truth is you have a He has a plan and a purpose for you. And you put on that helmet of salvation, and then to know that you are secure, that when you go out that door, that even if the evil one somehow takes you out, you're still secure forever. That even if you don't make it to the next day, that the next day you're going to be in heaven forever. That is so secure that you don't have to fear. How many times, you know, one of the things that I didn't do Wednesday night when I was very angry was I did not fear. Now, I want to tell you, honestly, I really need to see Megan, though. Because I've been around Megan for a long time. I still remember being at the Baptist Student Union when she was about 9 years old, coming in, seeing their little freckles on her face. Yeah. I got a good shot into her last night as she was leaving, though. I had some of the kids remind her there are some young residents that are going to be down there, single guys, and maybe she'd come home with a husband. But it was personal. But I did not fear. Because I know that Megan, her eternal security is secure. Put it on the helmet of salvation. Taking every thought captive for Christ. Being like Christ. Thinking like Christ. Acting like Christ. Paul says, put it on. Put it on. And then he moves to the breastplate of righteousness. Remember, Ephesus set in the Roman Empire. So Paul was using something that the church in Ephesus and throughout the Mediterranean could identify with, and that would be a Roman legionnaire. They had all seen the Roman legionnaires walking by. And so a breastplate of righteousness, you know one of the things the breastplate on a Roman legionnaire would have done? It would have identified who he was and where he came from. And his specific job in whatever he was doing. So when you put on the breastplate of righteousness, you're identifying yourself with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That when the evil one looks at you, he's saying, whoa, wait a second. It isn't just you I got to deal with. I've got to deal with Jesus. I've got to deal with the righteousness of Christ. But also when God looks at you, he's saying, wait a second. I'm viewing my child through the righteousness of Jesus, my son. Remember, the Bible talks about us taking on the righteousness of Christ. So when the evil one looks at us, the world looks at us, it should see the righteousness of Christ right there in front. Please note, there are no weapons listed for the back. Because as soldiers of Christ, we take ground. We move forward. We don't turn and run. We don't fear. We look the enemy on and say, we stand on firm faith. Because you know the last little word he says there, you will stand, and then it pauses and say, so you can stand. Because there's going to be days when the fact of the matter is we do get knocked down, don't we? Not every day do we live on the mountaintop. There are days when we live in the valley. There are days when we just get knocked down. We get a little down, okay? But the Bible says, get back up. Get back up. You're doing this so you can stand up. And then Paul goes ahead and talks about the belt of truth. To keep it all together. Got to have the belt of truth around us. To keep it all together, that all these are truths. The Bible is a truth. That Jesus died for us is a truth. And that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. No lie shall prosper against us. That you can walk in the truth. The thing about it is how often do we not walk in the truth? How often do we succumb to temptations? How often do we succumb to lies? instead of putting it all together through truth. And then Paul says, put on the shoes of peace. First of all, not everybody back then had shoes. Okay? That's a hard concept for us. But there are a lot of people who walked around barefoot. Okay? But a Roman legionnaire didn't walk around barefooted. No way, no how. He was a Roman legionnaire. Okay? You put on the shoes of peace. Why would you put on shoes of peace? Because you're going to tell somebody something. You see? So Paul is saying, you're not going to be sitting around twiddling your thumbs doing nothing. You're going to be putting on the armor of God because you're going into battle because we've got ground to claim. And that ground is souls. They are souls. And you've got the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to go tell people and to proclaim the good news. Remember I told you I was mad on Wednesday night? And I said, somebody's got to pay for this. Something's got to happen. And I did go to praying. God was good to me. He gave me a little gift on Thursday. I had an opportunity to meet a gentleman. And we got to talking. And in the course of that conversation, I said to him, he's in his 50s. And I said, let me ask you point blank. Where would you be tomorrow if you weren't alive on this earth? And he looked at me with all honesty. He said, I'd probably go down. I said, well, I'll tell you what, we can do something about that today. So I shared the gospel with him. I asked him, do you understand what I share? And he said, yeah, I understand what you share. I said, is there any reason why you can't accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life today and know that you're going up? He said, no, can't think of a reason. I said, well, why don't we pray together? I said, okay, we'll do that. So he prayed with me to ask Jesus to be Lord of his life. And you know, that is a great amen, praise God. But I told him, I said, you know what? I think I'm more excited than you are, man. Because I was thinking back to the last 24 hours and how upset I was on Wednesday night and how God had given me this gift. Because when I was thinking of someone's got to pay for this, you see what happened was is God snatched one away from the devil. You see, he was only headed in one direction. God snatched him back. And now now you're my brother. We're going to spend forever together. And I even shared with him, I said, you know, a couple things happened. One, literally, you changed addresses from down to up. And two, the Bible says the angel threw a party for you. I said, it's kind of hard to kind of grasp. I said, I don't really know what all they're doing. I don't know, cake or ice cream, I don't know. But the Bible just talks about a celebration. What? Cinnamon twist. Sorry, I know as a speaker, you're not supposed to do inside jokes, but Audrey, you'll have to ask this later, okay? But there was a party for this man. The good news, put it on the shoes of peace because we've got something to go tell people, don't we? We have something to deliver. And finally, Paul says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. But in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When Jesus came out of the wilderness, his faith was strong. But what sword did he wield back at the evil one? Truth. Truth. Because it was part of who he was. Not because he was the Son of God, but because it was in his DNA, the truth was. The truth was so part of it. The truth flowed through his veins. So when the evil one and the world and the flesh comes at you and I this week, I don't have to have some great answer when someone walks up to me and wants to try to trick me. Or I don't have to have some great answer even when the evil one comes and says, Dan, you're not worthy to be preaching in Dusty's spot this week. I say, wait a second. I don't have to have a great answer. Let me just turn to the Word of God and see what it has to say about these things. And this coming week, I know over and over and over, our team will deliver the truth, which is the Word of God, which is an offensive weapon. Because it can slice and it can dice lies up. Just kill it. Just cuts it to pieces. And you have that weapon. But do you ever pick it up and use it? Does it flow through your veins? Does it live in you? Is it part of you? Is it what you think about? Are you in love with it? Because most of the time when Dane tries to be smart enough to come back against a lie or against something that's tricking me or something that I feel is deceiving me, I pretty much screw it up. Okay? But when I go back to the truth and I've used the sword of the Spirit, I don't have to worry about did I get it right? Because this is right. So this isn't just something that you use to gain some knowledge with. It is something that you use to advance the kingdom of God, to take ground for Him. And of course, the shield, you deflect the lies. You deflect all the garbage that the evil one can throw at you. Because I want you to know, this past week, Kenny asked us a while ago, said something, "Hey, I had a rough week or something, Kenny." And a few of you raised your hand. I'm sitting there thinking, well, you should have been with me this week. Okay? Should have been with Dusty this week. You know, the one thing that I kept getting a word a couple of weeks ago as I was praying about and Haiti and so forth. And by the way, when I found out Megan may or may not go, I decided to mess with Kathy a little bit and tell her I was ready to start packing. Okay? And she was like, wait a second. I don't think I've heard that from God. And what was significant about that was this. I had no intention of packing, whether or not Megan can make it, because I heard about 2 weeks ago, I heard an unusual word that didn't make any sense to me until this past week came. And I heard the word security. Now, my first thought was, you know, security means you secure something. You know, you hold on to it, you do this, you secure it, or something like this. But then I got this image. I got this image that I was supposed to try to make sure that Dusty could focus on the things that he was supposed to focus on. And so I would ask him over and over during the week, how can I help you? What can I do to help you get to where you need to go? Because I know that if you know Dusty very well, something unusual happened this week in his life. He actually took a piece of paper and made a list. Okay? Let me tell you something. When Dusty makes a list of something, you know it's real. The battle has been real. Okay? Because Dusty never takes time to make a list of anything. All right? But I realized why that word security kept coming to mind. It wasn't that I was supposed to necessarily hold on to something. It was more of Rick and I and this body of Christ were supposed to be standing in the gap and interceding and holding up our team as they go. Whether it be through a prayer vigil or you're fasting this week or whatever. But that as they go, we are lifting them up and we're interceding for them. But you and I need to be putting on the armor, okay? You and I have to take responsibility into this. You and I have to own this. So I would encourage you. See, that in my Bible here, I got all these blue highlights in that part. And that tells me, I can't remember when I highlighted it, but it must have meant something to me because I highlighted it, okay? And there are days I can flip to it and I can say, oh yeah, yeah. Am I walking in the armor? And one of the first things I'd encourage you to do, I try to do it very regularly, is pause and literally say, God, place on me the helmet of salvation. Help me take on the mind of Christ. I get weary with temptation sometimes. The battle can get weary and long. God, put on me the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, and put it all together with the belt of truth. And God, help me hold that shield strong and firm. And God, make sure that my sword is ready. Is there something I need to be taking ownership more? Is there something I need to be making part of me in this word? How is this truth flowing through me and out? Because, what does it say in 1 Peter 5:8? What does it say, Terry? Right. The evil one is walking around looking for someone to devour. And I want you to know something today. Let's speak very plainly to one another. Let me speak very plainly to you. You might put on the armor this afternoon, and it doesn't guarantee that it'll be easy or that something won't happen that's not pleasant. Because if that's true, then poor old Job in the Old Testament, he would have a bone to pick with us, wouldn't he? Just because you choose to do something doesn't make the way necessarily easy. But don't leave yourself out there naked for attack either. Okay? So do what you know to do and trust God for all those things you can't control. It was interesting last night as we were getting ready, the team was getting ready to leave, as I was talking to the different members of the team leading up to last night, I know a lot of people, you guys, because I ask them to you, what are you going to be doing down there? And everyone had the same answer. Don't know. We get on the plane at about 2:30, and after that, we don't even know what's going to happen. They're going to meet Freddie Hebron. You heard Dusty talk about Freddie, the Pop-Tart guy. Okay, he's going to meet him at the airport. That's about it. After they get to the airport, Port-au-Prince, and Freddie says hello, it's all whatever. It's all whatever. And I think one of the beauties of that is this. Most of us live under the illusion that we control a lot of our lives. And we don't. We don't. We are at the grace and the mercy of our sovereign God every nanosecond of the day. And we walk to His orders. And that we submit to the Jesus Christ, the Lordship of Him. And we trust Him. We trust Him. That no matter what happens, either He's going to give us another day to battle on this side, or we're going to be with Him forever on the other side the next moment. So I want to encourage you today, I want to challenge you today to look at that passage as a passage where God has given us some very concrete things that we can visualize and do as we enter this battle. Because the fact of the matter is we all of us know we're not guaranteed tomorrow, okay? So let's live today like it is our last day. Okay? Let's live like this is really a gift and that tomorrow's not guaranteed. What would you do differently today if you lived like that? Instead of living like, well, I've got the next 40 years of my life. Well, maybe you do. Maybe you don't. But God is calling on us to be all He wants us to be today and usable and useful today. Okay? So I challenge you this morning. Oh, look, there was my other sermon. Golly, I typed all that too. That was a lot of typing. Well, I copied and pasted that one. I had to be truthful with you. Another day. It's another day. I want you to own it. Because all of us have a lot of things in common. But one of them I want to hear very plainly this morning. God is counting on us today to advance His kingdom, whether it be through prayer, obedience, living out your purpose. However, today, February 28, 2010, God is counting on us to live out His kingdom today. Part of that is interceding for our Haiti team. Part of that is interceding for the Haiti people. Okay? And by the way, practical note. As you go and you pray for our team, and most of them you know them by name, and you go and you pray for that medical mission, ask God the specifics. And God, what do I need to intercede for them today? Is it protection? Divine appointments? God, what is it that's on your heart today? Maybe you need to ask God to make sure they're putting on the armor of God too. The armor of God, all right? So I'm going to pray for us in a moment. You guys had the opportunity to take your cards and your envelopes. I pray that you'll put your heart on those cards this morning. I know that there's always stuff stirring in our lives. So let Rick and I join you this week in what God's stirring by interceding and praying with you this week. This morning, as you have an opportunity to respond to however God puts on your heart, one of the things I want to challenge you about this morning as you respond is this. Respond to God how He's asking you to join Him in what He's doing. Not in a tug of war where you're asking Him to join you in what you're doing. But ask God, how can my heart change for me to join you in what you're doing? So this morning our altar will be open. If you need anointing for something, if you need specific prayer for something as far as anything that's on your heart, I'll be up here and Rick and Regina, our life group leaders, will be around. I just encourage you to ask yourself, God, am I giving it all, my all, to you today? And if you're holding anything back, ask Him to prune it from you, to cut it from you. And walk with the full knowledge that you are secure in Him on this side and the other side. great things can happen. Great things can really happen. So let's pray. Father, we are very, very blessed to be your children today. And God, I thank you for that privilege. And you know, God, I would pray this out loud for myself. Help me understand what it really means to be a child of God in all the facets that you mean for it to be, God. You know, God, I don't want to get to with you one day and I look back and see all the things I missed that I could be enjoying right here with you. And I pray that for us today, God. I pray, Lord, that you would protect us during this time. God, as I think about our team, Lord, I pray for them. And I pray for their families that are represented with us today and the ones that are not connected to our church. God, some of those people on that team have never claimed the name of Jesus Christ. I would pray for our team and others down there to get the opportunity to share that good news with them. May you protect them. God, may they walk in the armor of God today. But God, I am praying they would take ground for you down there. We love you and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Touch my heart like you do, and I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. Search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. Your mercy flows like a river wide, and healing comes from your hand. Suffering children are safe in your. There is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find. Safe in your arms, there is none like you. Something that the Lord just told me, I got to thinking about
We've talked a lot about the team that's in Haiti this morning. But I got to thinking here, you know, that's just part of our body is over in Haiti. The rest of us is here. And I'm sure in a couple of weeks we'll hear about the wonderful things that happened in Haiti through that team. But wouldn't it be interesting if when they got back here, we said, man, you should have seen what happened here. Wouldn't that be awesome? If we were meeting them at the airport saying, you ain't gonna believe what happened while you were away. See, God works here. And He can work here now. And I believe all the attack that we have heard about this week, it's not only for the team in Haiti. Maybe the devil didn't want something to happen here for those of us that are staying here. So if you're here this morning and you're discouraged, you don't think this Sunday was about you, it was definitely about you. Let's pray. Father, as we are praying about all kinds of sorts of things this morning, Lord, we want to come before you just as Dane has already preached to us this morning. Actually, you preached to us through Dane this morning. And you told us about that whole armor of God. Because the devil is roaming all over the earth, not just in Haiti. He's roaming right outside these doors. He's been roaming in here. And Lord, we come before you this morning and we pray, Lord, that you would heal us. That, Lord, as we stay here, that you would meet with us. That you would answer the prayers of the people here. The healing that has already been prayed for this morning. Lord, that we would be new people. And new creations all over again. Just because you met with us, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.